Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April 14th, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. A community workshop on the Tongass Forest Plan revision will be happening next Tuesday in Wrangell. So with us today, we have Wrangell District Ranger Tori Hauser to discuss what to expect at the meeting. You can call in to ask a question or leave a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Tori. How are you today?
Hi, Colette. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming in. So let's talk about the Tongass Forest Plan revision. Does this also include the Chugach as well?
Well, that's a great question. This assessment is just for the Tongass. So the forest plan is just the 16.7 million acres of the Tongass National Forest from Yakutat down to Ketchikan.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The largest national forest in the U.S.
That's right.
So what is a forest plan?
All right. You're testing me out here, but well, actually, I use a forest plan a lot in my job. A forest plan is a guiding document for all activities that take place on the national forest. And there's a National Forest Management Act. It says that we will have these plans to help have a broad perspective and ensure that our standards and our guidelines and our policies are focused on the needs and the demands and the myriad. This is really complicated because there's so many people that we serve and so many resources, and they don't all have the exact aligned laser focus on the same thing. So we're trying to have some guidelines to figure out what are ways to manage all of those different ideas. That's the broad perspective of a forest plan.
Yeah, thank you. And from my understanding, this has been in the works for a while. When was the last forest revision?
The last forest revision, and it was just a small revision, not a full revision like this one, took place in 2016.
Okay.
And the forest plan was created in 1997. So it's been around a long time, and it's really up for some changes and some updates to modernize it and to take into account changes in socioeconomic conditions, changes in ecology, changes in climate, changes in communities, and the way people use the forest resources, even recreation. Mm-hmm. All those things have changed in the 30 years or the 10 years since 2026.
Yeah. So how long has this current revision been in the works?
Officially, I think it was kicked off in 2024.
Okay.
And it's on a very, very fast timeline because the current administration is looking to work hard on trying to make some of these environmental processes go faster. So they're making like a environmental impact statement or an environmental assessment. They're putting these standard time frames on it. And so we're trying to work within one of those standard time frames.
Yeah. What is the goal of the Tongass National Forest Revision Plan? And why is it happening now? I feel like you just mentioned the administration. Maybe that's part of the answer.
I think it's regardless of what administration would be in office, we are due for some modernization of our plan. So because the Tongass, if we in 2026 or 2016, when we last revised, we were really revising to look at young growth and having a young growth strategy. And that was the focus of that revision. There were other things included, but that was the focus. And so now we're taking a holistic look and we're trying to modernize the entire plan, like how we look at every part of it, recreation, wildlife, fisheries, timber, and anything else you can think of that is associated with our plan.
Wow. Yeah.
And why now? I think it's like a legal process. We got it started and we have to move through this I guess mandates.
Yeah.
That's why now.
Yeah.
And it's ripe. It's good. It's going to be great. And we've had in the past, we've had some public meetings. We gathered a lot of really good information from 25 different communities. And we really did have good participation in those. And that information provided the framework for what we're going to see in next Tuesday's meetings.
Okay.
It helped us understand what is the need for change. Why do we, exactly the question you asked, why do we need to change this plan? And so the communities and private citizens, industry, special interest groups, environmental groups, all and tribes have all come and given us some ideas of what needs to change, what they've seen over these 30 years that they want to see updated and modernized.
Can you give a couple examples of that?
Well, maybe I can think so. Oh, yes, off the top of my head, a really good example is in recreation and tourism, the way people are using the forest has shifted a lot. For example, in the 1997, when they did the analysis, like 5-10 years before that, a lot of people were using the forest mostly for hunting and fishing, and it would be like individuals going out, and not so much for family use. There weren't as many developed sites. The cabins, the wonderful cabin network that we had, there were very few of them on a road system that were accessible to people that didn't have their own boat or their own airplane. Mm-hmm. So the demand for accessible, developed recreation has increased a lot. And so we're trying to be responsive to that. Also, small cruise boats, large cruise boats, and the people coming in from other places as tourists to visit the communities and enjoy these natural resources have also expanded hugely in that time period.
Yeah.
So those kind of things are the things we're addressing, along with lots and lots of socioeconomic shifts, community changes. Tribes have different things that they're interested in. Really incorporating tribal and traditional knowledge is a big part of the updates in this plan.
Yeah. When you say socioeconomic shifts, do you mean specifically like the economics of the whole Tongass area, or can you just explain that a little more?
Yeah, I'll give an example from Wrangell.
Okay.
In 1995, the mill closed.
Yep.
And 1995, if the plan was written in, signed in 1997, the analysis would have included a large mill in Ketchikan and in Prince of Wales and here in Wrangell. And that would have, those socioeconomics would have played heavily into the timber sections of the plan and how that was considered. Now, we don't have large pulp mills mm-hmm. on the Tongass, and so the socioeconomics related to timber are different, and they're certainly still vibrant. They're still really important, and but how do we manage for them sustainably and in more thinking about the current situation and what it might look like in the future.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So what parts of the Wrangell area are most likely to be affected by changes in the plan?
Well, hopefully we will hear from the public in Wrangell and we'll learn from them the places that they would like to see changed and the management strategies changed for those areas. Some things that have come out so far in the preliminary analysis, a change analysis and that sort of thing, are these concepts of subsistence management areas and in community use areas. So we're trying to think about having places that would be managed in a special way around communities. And one of the activities at the meeting on Tuesday is to really look at what people think about these concepts and how they might affect them so that we could better understand what the management effects might be.
Yeah. So community input plays a huge role, it sounds like.
I think it's super important. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, really, the architects of the plan, the forest plan revision team, they are really trying to take the information that they gather from these meetings, collate all of them, assess and analyze them. They have experts that can take them and think about them in terms of, like, nationally, how other public land areas are used. But that information is what is specific to Alaska and to the Tongass and to these small communities that are unique. There's nowhere else that that life is like it is here in Wrangell.
Definitely. Yeah. Do you know who's part of the revision team?
Mm-hmm. We have a Cracker Jack revision team. I'm really excited about them. They are a team of experts in their fields. So there are landscape architects that are experts in assessing visual quality. And that's an important part when you're thinking about what people in these cruise boats are seeing as they're going along in their cruise. And there's timber economic experts, and there's silviculturists, and there's writers, and there's socio-economists and sociologists, which is our understanding communities. There's tribal specialists. So I think there's fisheries and hydrologists, and, you know, like covering all of the biology and natural resource areas. So that is the team, but they are all counting on the local input for substantiating the science.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely sounds like a dynamic team with a lot of diversity, which, of course, it's important. It's not just like one thought, you know, one person or one person's idea.
Right. And I did want to point out, too, that it's not just a team from folks there. You know, there are folks from other parts of the country that are part of this team and providing their expertise. But our local Forest Service staff are also participating and providing their local expertise to sort of round out some of those concepts.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people feel overwhelmed by federal planning processes. How is the team making this accessible and understandable?
Well, I'm right there with them. It is a big process. The document itself is some 300, 400 pages long, and there's a lot there. However, like anything, it can be broken up into its parts, and we can think about these parts. And fortunately, in this process, we have some partners who are helping us out to try to make it more accessible to the public. So Spruce Root and I think it's the Juneau Economic Development Council are working with the Forest Service Plan Revision Team, and they are organizing the public meetings and trying to create some interactive activities to help gather information. They're trying really hard to create lots and lots of different avenues to provide input. So if you can't make it to the meeting, then you can go online, you can come to our office, you can do lots of different things to try to get your points across.
Yeah, and one of my questions is if somebody cannot attend the meeting, how can they participate? So go to your office, go to the website, go ahead.
I was just trying today, just Google Tongass National Forest Land and Resource Management Plan Revision, or just Forest Plan Revision, Tongass Forest Plan Revision. So you can just Google that and it'll bring you to the Forest Service page. Or I think on the KSTK website, you have a link to the Forest Plan Revision page. And on that page, there's lots of places where it'll say public participation, and then people can go in there. And fortunately, you don't have to eat the entire elephant at once. You can go to the parts that you're interested in and provide some information on those.
Yeah, thank you. And I will include the link for the Forest Plan Revision page on this interview for Talk on the Rock on our page for this particular interview as well. So who will present at next Tuesday's workshop?
We are lucky to have Barb Miranda, our Deputy Forest Supervisor here in Wrangell, as well as Aaron Matthews, who is the lead planner on the Forest Plan Revision team.
Great.
And then I'll be there.
Yeah. Awesome. What are the biggest trade-offs the Forest Service is trying to balance in this revision?
I think we're trying to figure out what lands are suitable, sustainable for specific uses that may not necessarily be compatible with each other. I was reading through some of the frequently asked questions, and there are some questions about wilderness and whether this plan is going to create new wilderness. Well, only Congress can designate new wilderness, but as part of the Forest Management Act, it's a requirement to assess lands that are appropriate for wilderness. So we will do that through this process, but there are no areas moving forward as being recommended for wilderness at this time. And so that's just one where wilderness prohibits a lot of development type activities, and it would probably be in conflict with, timber harvest areas.
Yeah.
So that would, but I don't think that that's too much of a trade-off. We kind of have those designated wilderness areas established. More of those trade-off things might be in the trying to consider what are compatible uses in places where some groups might want to have more developed use, maybe more roads, more harvest, while others maybe feel that they don't want to see that development on the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough, and that's a lot of what this process is looking at.
Yeah. Do you know how much wilderness designated land there is right now?
I sure do. I brought that with me. Presently, 35% or 5,756,000 acres of the Tongass is congressionally designated wilderness.
Wow. Okay. And so that may change.
No, that can't change.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
wilderness is designated by Congress, and it will remain wilderness, and we will manage it as wilderness.
Okay.
The question is, are we going to add to it?
Right. Yep.
And as part of this process, we are assessing lands that, would you look at areas to become wilderness? It requires plans to consider it. Let's see here. It basically says that there people have been concerned and brought this up as a question because ANILCA has a no more set-asides just for the creating of conservation units in the Anilka law. Mm-hmm. And the Forest Service plan revision, it is required to assess lands that might be suitable for wilderness and then make a recommendation to Congress. And what I'm saying is there's no land that's being recommended to Congress at this time.
Okay.
That's a lot, huh?
Well, you know, it's good to talk through all of this because, as you mentioned before, it's such a lengthy text, you know, 300 plus pages. So, okay, going back to next week, what are we as a community to expect at the workshop?
Oh, well, super. It's going to be a lot of fun. 5 to 7 on Tuesday. We have a presentation by the Forest Plan Revision team to give some background and to bring folks up to speed on where we are, what we've done so far, and where we are and what we still need. And then we have some interactive activities to try to gather information to kind of specifically answer some questions or gain more perspective about like the subsistence use areas or community use areas, timber harvest, all the things that are important to people around here, how they use the land and how they want to see the land used in the future.
Yeah, and I know we, and especially you, have talked about how important community input is, but let's just remind our listeners again, how will the public input from Wrangell be used after the workshop ends?
Okay, let's see. Well, how will it be used? It will directly be used in the assessment for what comes next. Like, we have to put out a create alternatives. And the alternatives are what all the specialists will analyze for the plan. And then ultimately, the regional forest or the chief of the Forest Service or some, you know, delegated authority will make a decision on which one of those alternatives we go through. But I have right here, I just wanted to make sure I got this correct. So the steps on the forest plan, this is how people's involvement will be there in each of these steps. So we have a pre-assessment, which is what we did, where we gathered all the information that helped us understand the need for change. And then we did these assessments, and we gathered all this information about the current conditions. So we got fisheries data and wildlife data, and we created the report on the species of conservation concern, which is a Forest Service concept. It's not the same as the Endangered Species Act or anything like that. It's just like, what do we want to watch here on the Tongass? So gathered all this information about current conditions and trends. And then this plan development is the next stage. And that's the stage what we're in right now. And in this stage, this is where we're really trying to create some focus. Like, what are we actually going to have in this plan? What is the guiding concept? So currently the plan is developed is centered around this idea of land use designations, and there's like 26 of them. And land use designations are big color coding on the map on of the Tongass that says, okay, this pink area here, that's a scenic viewshed, and this is remote recreation, and this is timber harvest, and this is old growth management, and there are all kinds of different things spread all out, and it's pretty confusing. And so I think that one of the big changes that we're going to see is that we're going to reduce that from 26 land use designations to like 4.
Wow.
before, and they're now kind of being called management areas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing. Let's see here. And then you develop a draft, and that will all have public comment, and people can say, oh, you missed this. And we really do hope to have lots of people commenting in and telling us, yep, this is you're headed in the right direction, or this alternative really is missing these pieces that are super important to me, and why. The why is really important. That's how we can use those comments. If we don't have a why, it just doesn't hold as much weight, you know? And then the final environmental impact statement comes out, and there's still an objection process for the public.
Okay.
So there's a lot of points in there where the public gets to have input in this planning process.
Yeah, this sounds, how long do you estimate this whole process to take?
Let's see. Well, we're trying to get her done in 3 years.
Okay. Starting with this year.
So let's see here. This year's 2026. We're trying to have it done by 2027.
Next year, because the pre-planning started 2 years ago.
Yeah. So it's very, very fast.
Yeah. Wow.
We'll see how it goes.
So people, community members can input their opinions, their ideas, everything a few more times this year. And that helps the revision team understand where people are, what's important for them. And also people should attend this workshop next week on Tuesday, because they'll understand more of what's happening, what people are talking about. And is there anything else you want to expand on why they should attend next Tuesday's workshop?
Yeah, thanks, Colette. Well, one thing I want to say is the meeting is from 5 to 7, but you don't have to stay 2 hours. it's not a 2-hour kind of thing. It's just an opportunity for people to come in and out, and go through some of our little activities, provide their input, ask questions, and then go ahead. So the commitment's not 2 hours. Let everybody know that. And then why? Because what you think as a public, as a people who live here in these communities, it is important. And it really is. It's the purpose of why we're doing this. This is your public land. And we at the Forest Service are here to serve the needs and demands of the public, especially the local communities. Local community prosperity is one of the tenets of the plan. And so really understanding that from personal perspective, from the people that live here, is critical to having a successful and sustainable plan.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. What do you want most people, what do you want most for people to understand before they come to the workshop?
There's no homework. You don't have to prepare for this plan or for this meeting. We just hope that you'll show up. If you're somebody who really likes to, you know, get in and get prepared beforehand, I would say go ahead and look up Forest Plan Revision on the website, on the Tongass website, and you can go through and understand those change analyses. There's actually a very, I even read all of it, write-up that's only a few pages long that gives the real, a summary of the information that's been collected so far and the purpose for why we're doing this. So you can be prepared if that's what you want, but nobody has to. We hope you'll just show up and tell us what you care about the lands and the waters around your community.
Thank you. And so it's next Tuesday, April 21st, 2 hours long, but people do not have to stay for the whole thing.
Yeah.
5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Nolan Center. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this conversation before we move on to the next program?
Awesome. I think I want to just give a little personal, like, Tori, how do you use the forest plan? Like, what is this thing? So we have lots of projects going on in the Wrangell Rancher District. And whenever we have an activity proposed on the Wrangell Rancher District, we have to do a NEPA assessment, NEPA being the National Environmental Policy Act. And the purpose of that is to be transparent with the public about what's happening on their public lands. So let's say I have an activity to do some commercial spruce root picking, something like that. And then we would bring it to all our biologists and fish biologists and archaeologists and ask what kind of effects might the public want to know about this activity. And they would go to the forest plan and they'd say, what's legal? What are we allowed to do? What are we guided to do in the area where this activity is planned? And it's all of those pieces are kind of brought together so that we're not just doing whatever Tori feels like, even though, you know, that's probably the best thing. But really, it gives us some guidance so that we can be consistent and we can follow the law and we can protect the resources and make sure that we keep the public aware of what we're doing. So that's kind of the, yeah. The personal why I think it's really important, and I really do like forest planning.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and explaining everything about next Tuesday's workshop on the Tongass revision plan. So that was the Forest Service's Wrangell District Ranger, Tori Hauser.